sale that instant, and ran back up the cobbled streets to the strange little shop. He had trouble finding it, for there was something shifty about the streets of Thwill. It almost seemed that the turnings were different every time. He came on the right street at last and darted into the shop under the strings of red clay beads that ornamented its doorway. When he was buying ink and paper, he had noticed, on a tray of clasps and brooches, a silver brooch in the shape of a wild rose. And his mother was called Rose. "I'll buy that," he said in his hasty, princely way. "Ancient silverwork of the Isle of O. I can see you are a judge of the old crafts," said the shopkeeper, looking at the hilt, not the handsome sheath of Arryn's sword. "That will be 4 in ivory. Arryn paid the rather high price unquestioning. He had in his purse plenty of the ivory counters that serve as money in the inner lands. The idea of a gift for his mother pleased him. The act of buying pleased him. As he left the shop, he set his hand on the pommel of his sword with a touch of swagger. His father had given him that sword on the eve of his departure from Enlad. He had received it solemnly and had worn it as if it were a duty to wear it, even aboard ship. He was proud of the weight of it at his hip, the weight of its great age on his spirit. For it was the sword of Seriad, who was the son of Morad and Alfarin. There was none older in the world except the sword of Aerith Akbi, which was set atop the Tower of the Kings in Havnor. The sword of Seriad had never been laid away or hoarded up, but worn. Yet was unworn by the centuries, unweakened because it had been forged with a great power of enchantment. Its history said that it never had been drawn, nor ever could be drawn, except in the service of life. For no purpose of bloodlust or revenge or greed, in no war for gain, would it let itself be wielded. From it, the great treasure of his family, Arryn had received his use name. Arryndek, he had been called as a child, the little sword. He had not used the sword, nor had his father, nor his grandfather. There had been peace in Enlad for a long time. And now, in the street of the strange town of the Wizard's Isle, the sword's handle felt strange to him when he touched it. It was awkward to his hand and cold. Heavy, the sword hindered his walk, dragged at him. And the wonder he had felt was still in him, but had gone cold. He went back down to the quay and gave the brooch to the ship's master for his mother, and bade him farewell and a safe voyage home. Turning away, he pulled his cloak over the sheath that held the old, unyielding weapon, the deadly thing he had inherited. He did not feel like swaggering anymore. "What am I doing?" he said to himself as he climbed the narrow ways, not hurrying now, to the fortress bulk of the great house above the town. "How is it that I'm not going home? Why am I seeking something I don't understand, with a man I don't know?" And he had no answer to his questions. In the darkness before dawn, Arryn dressed in clothing that had been given him, seaman's garb, well-worn but clean, and hurried down through the silent halls of the great house to the eastern door, carven of horn and dragon's tooth. There the doorkeeper led him out and pointed the way that he should take, smiling a little. He followed the topmost street of the town and then a path that led down to the boathouses of the school, south along the bayshore from the docks of Thwill. He could just make out his way. Trees, roofs, hills bulked as dim masses within dimness. The dark air was utterly still and very cold. Everything held still, held itself withdrawn and obscure. Only over the dark sea eastward was there one faint, clear line, the horizon, tipping momently toward the unseen sun. He came to the boathouse steps. No one was there. Nothing moved. In his bulky sailor's coat and wool cap, he was warm enough, but he shivered, standing on the stone steps in the darkness, waiting. The boathouses loomed black above black water, and suddenly from them came a dull, hollow sound, a booming knock repeated three times. Aaron's hair stirred on his scalp. A long shadow glided out onto the water silently. It was a boat, and it slid softly toward the pier. Aaron ran down the steps onto the pier and leapt down into the boat. "Take the tiller," said the archmage, a lithe, shadowy figure in the prow, "and hold her steady while I get the sail up." They were out on the water already, the sail opening like a white wing from the mast, catching the growing light. "A west wind to save us rowing out of the bay. That's a parting gift from the master wind key, I don't doubt. Watch her, lad. She steers very light. So then, a west wind and a clear dawn for the balance day of spring." "Is this boat Lookfar?" Aaron had heard of the archmage's boat in songs and tales. "Aye," said the other, busy with ropes. The boat bucked and veered as the wind freshened. Aaron set his teeth and tried to keep her steady. "She steers very light, but somewhat willful, lord." The archmage laughed. "Let her have her will. She is wise also. Listen, Aaron." And he paused, kneeling on the thwart to face Aaron. "I am no lord now, nor you a prince. I am a trader called Hawk, and you're my nephew, learning the seas with me, called Aaron. For we hail from Enlad." "From what town?"